Let's turn to Proverbs. We will turn PowerPoint on in a moment. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs, I said 22. Keep your finger in 22. You can look at. Well, you don't have to turn to it. It's up here. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. The next one in Proverbs 22. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And in Proverbs 22:3, the word evil may not mean evil like wicked alone. It could mean like bad things, like a hurricane might be evil in that sense. It's something bad coming. So it's a very general term. So not only like wicked people, but just bad things like hurricanes. Okay. So the simple believe every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. And 22:3, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. In both of these verses, particularly the second one, but in both of these, you have to come away with the understanding that someone is planning ahead. Someone is planning ahead. Now, there are a lot of situations in life we get into that we don't plan ahead for because we can't. I mean, there are just lots of things that people could come up and say to us, and it's not like we could have thought about them before. They just have to say them, and then we have to react. And that's just part of life. That's okay. But there are other situations where we can plan ahead, and that is the crux of the message today in this session, and that is, it's planning ahead. It's thinking ahead. It's deliberating ahead of time. There are circumstances in life where we can know we're going to get into them, and we can plan ahead. Lawyers do this all the time. They're preparing for their case, and they imagine what they might be asked by the judge or what the other side might say, and they plan ahead. When the judge asks this, here's what my answer is going to be. You'd be a pretty dumb lawyer if you didn't do that. Well, I think I'll just go in there and wait. I mean, I'm on the right side of this. No, you'll be toast. I mean, that's the time for you to be ready. And you can prepare ahead of time. Here, the prudent man is considering well his steps, probably not just as they're happening, but in 22:3, you definitely get the idea of looking ahead, seeing something that is going to come up, and preparing for it ahead of time. And that's what we'd like to talk about. So the title is going to be Living Deliberately. Living Deliberately. This actually was a phrase brought on by some weird artsy kind of guy. Was it Thoreau? Thoreau? Yeah. He said, I decided to live deliberately. And for him, that meant, you know, going by a pond in the woods and getting out there smelling grass or something like that. I don't know what he was doing, but he was just, you know, it was just him and nature, you know, or something like that. Well, okay, he's not my cup of tea, but you have to admit that the guy made a decision, right? He looked at life and he said, I'm going to decide to live this way. You understand? And just that is the aspect that I'd like to take away. Most of us, we just live through life and let life happen to us, right? At least this guy, weird as he was, decided, I'm going to decide to live this way. And he decided it ahead of time, and then he lived like that. So using these verses as our motivation, we can do the same. We can look ahead, we can understand what's coming, and we can make a decision ahead of time as to what we're going to do. Now, what we're going to find in this little lesson is that there are some areas of life where we need to develop a special kind of personal conviction called a bright line personal conviction to aid us in living deliberately. Now, there might be things on the screen right now that you don't understand. What's a bright line personal conviction? And living deliberately, he sort of talked about, but I'm still not sure what it all means. If you're in that case, not to worry. We're going to talk about it all as we move along, okay? But just to know, this is where we're going. There are convictions that we need to develop in us, And some of these convictions are a special kind of conviction called a bright line conviction. This is not a term that you'll find exactly in those words in the Bible, but we will explain what we mean by them. A bright line conviction. Now, let me just remind us at the age that a lot of us are here. A lot of us are still living at home. Good, that's fine. I did that for a long, long, long time. And while living at home, a lot of our personal convictions may be invisible as to whether we have them or not. I mean, you could have two people living under the same roof, and every Sunday they both go to church, and through the week they live a certain way, and you look at these two people and you say, they're both doing about the same spiritually because their attendance at church is about the same and their actions in other ways are about the same. Okay. So it looks like they're doing the same spiritually. But the only reason that it looks like they're doing the same spiritually is because under the environment that they're living, their personal convictions are invisible. Why do they go to church? Well, maybe their parents take them to church. It's not really a negotiable thing. Now, you take these two and you send them off to colleges, say two different colleges, all of a sudden, their personal convictions are going to be seen for what they are. And one of them may say, well, now that I'm out on my own, I'm really not going to do much at all with this. And the other one may have that personal conviction and say, no, I'm going to continue on. So in our Christian homes that a lot of us are from, our personal convictions might be invisible, and it might be an environment where we may not think we have to develop many personal convictions. But the answer is we do. The earlier the better, developing personal convictions about things so that not because of our parents, not because of our siblings, not because of our peers, because we before the Lord have determined this is what we're going to do. Now, often these convictions become visible, or the lack of them becomes visible in the college years. I think of somebody just recently, actually, among us here, came to Summit Week and so on, went off to college. Don't hear from her anymore. When she went off to college, I knew where she was going. There were believers in the area. I told her about the believers. I told the believers about her, so on, went to college. Never heard from again. Now, I wouldn't have expected it. Because I knew certain consistent things that were like before, but apparently those things were only there because she was being carried along by the family practice. Convictions weren't there, apparently. All right, I got now a mouse pointer. I don't know how that happened. All right, so don't let it distract you. I think I bumped the wrong thing. Okay. Thank you. Let's see if this makes it. That'll be back up. Thank you. All right, Daniel chapter 1. Now, the excellent example of what we're talking about is Daniel. Because Daniel, at probably 15 years of age or so, was taken away from his home. He was in the land of Israel. He was actually part of the royal family in Israel. And he gets taken by the Babylonians, taken off to Babylon, had the enjoyable experience of being made a eunuch. And this is his new life. And he is now going to serve in the courts of Babylon. Now, all of the things that could have carried him along in his life and decisions are all gone, and he stands alone. But he had a personal conviction. Look at Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Now, I mean, Daniel, he was quite a guy. You remember Daniel in the lion's den?
Remember that?
Wait, no, you don't remember that. You know why the lions didn't eat Daniel? He was all backbone. Look at this guy. All right, so he purposed in himself. All right, now. Do you remember when he went to the steward? I think Ashpenaz was his name, but he went and he said he wanted to be an exception from the rule in terms of what they ate. What did he ask for, by the way? Do you remember? He asked that he would eat what?
Water and vegetables.
Water and vegetables, right. Thank you. I had multiple people on that. Today, and there's a really big hint on the screen. Today, what are we allowed to eat? No meats, some meats, or all meats? Very good. Everybody seemed to get that one. And if you are doubtful, there's a verse in 1 Timothy you can look up. Today, if it moves, we can eat it. Okay, now, that's today's line. Now, interestingly, back in Daniel's day, the line was not at no meats. The line was where?
Some meats.
Okay. But what does Daniel ask of the manager? No meats. Do you understand that what Daniel asked for was more restrictive than what God demanded? Do you notice that? Now the question comes up, why would he do that?
Because the meat that the king served was served to idols.
Maybe so. I don't know that. I think the better answer is Daniel doesn't know what might have happened to the meat the king served. Okay? So there could be some meats that are apparently good. They might have served lamb once in a while. But even if it was lamb, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know what's going on in the kitchen behind that. I was once in a restaurant that was so fancy that there was just a huge wall of glass between the people eating and the people cooking the food. Total transparency. You could see everything that was happening. Everybody was so clean. Everything was stainless steel. I mean, if something dropped on the floor, they're not going to look both ways and just throw it back in the kitchen. But no, this was not true then. You didn't know what happened to it. Was it sacrificed to an idol? Was it prepared the wrong way? And so on. There were practical considerations that made Daniel say this: I am going to be safe and just say no meats. And sometimes the meats look like one thing and could be another. Now, that's not true here. We've had excellent food this week. But I'm telling you, some places you go, you look at it and you're like, I'm not sure what the meat is. All right. So there are practical reasons. Daniel made a decision ahead of time. Now, note, he made it ahead of time. He was not in the middle of the buffet line when he was, well, now I wonder what I should do about this. He thought ahead of time. And he said, well, I'm going to restrict myself more than the law demands in order to be sure to keep God's law under these difficult or confusing circumstances. All right. Daniel had a bright line. This is a bright line. We have to talk about what this means. Let's think of what a bright line rule might be. Here are two dietary guidelines to go by. One is eat a sensible dessert. Okay, one thing. The other is eat a dessert having at most 200 calories. Poor thing. All right. Which of these two is what would be called a bright line rule?
The second.
You see, I mean, assuming that the desserts had labels on them as to how many calories they had, you know without a doubt, this one is in, this one is out. Okay? The first one, it leaves a little more wiggle room. Well, what's sensible?
Yeah,
4 scoops of ice cream is quite reasonable. Through life, through life, which rules do we have? The bright line rules or the not bright line rules? Through life. Both. You can find lots of both, right? And a lot of times we have non-bright line rules and they serve us well, right? I mean, be polite to people. That's a nice non-bright line rule. Could you imagine having to have bright line rules for everything? Okay, when you enter in a room, within the first 15 seconds, you want to make sure to shake someone's hand and say hello to them. I mean, how awful would life be if we had bright line rules for everything? We just have sensible rules, like marriage advice. Don't be a jerk. That was given as marriage advice. It's not a bright line rule, but it's a good one nonetheless. Eat a sensible dessert, you know, try and watch out for these things. Try and be polite to one another. These are all non-bright line rules, and they serve us very well. But occasionally in life, well, occasionally we have bright line rules imposed on us by the law, but occasionally in life we have to have bright line rules with ourselves. And the wonderful thing about a bright line rule is it is easy to identify. I know what to do here because I made a bright line. Now, Daniel made a bright line rule. He said, well, no meats. That's it. It's easy to implement. I'm safe doing it. Everything's good. So often in life, bright line rules are not the best because they're inflexible. They do not adjust to various circumstances. But some areas of our life are helped with such bright line rules. And that's the takeaway from today, is that there are some areas, particularly areas of weakness, where we need bright line rules to serve us. Now, here's Daniel's no meat rule, okay? I want to tell you several things that are true about Daniel's no meat rule. First of all, was it a bright line? I'll give you a hint. Yeah, that's on the list. It was a bright line. Was it a safe line? The answer is yes. If I keep to the bright line, I know I'm keeping to what God commanded, correct? Okay. Note that this was for a finite time, possibly anyway. It's for a finite time. And there is evidence in the book of Daniel that it was for a finite time. In other words, Daniel didn't say, for the rest of my life, I'm never eating any meat. It was only under these unusual circumstances that he was not eating that meat. When he was second in command, I have a good feeling he could order up what he wanted and he could tell his servants, all right, tonight I'm having lamb and you're going to prepare it exactly this way and this is what you're going to do with it and so on. He very well could have. It talks later in Daniel about his abstaining from meat for a short time, implying that he was eating meat at that time. So it could have been for a finite time. That's Daniel 10:3 when it talks about not eating meat then. All right. Was it determined ahead of time? Yes. Was it determined before the Lord? I think we can read into it without much stretch that he did this before the Lord, wanting to please the Lord. And it was determined for oneself. So these are some of the characteristics of Daniel's no meat rule. And what we're going to do is we're going to find instances in people's lives where they've implemented a similar rule that had these characteristics. And it was scripturally based. So even though the scriptures did not say, Daniel, you're to eat no meat, the scriptures did say you were to abstain from certain meats. So based on those scriptures, Daniel made a rule in order to be able to keep them. All right. The next case we're going to come to is the awful crossword puzzles out there. Oh, the damage these things have done to the Christian youth. Satan has his tools, the crossword puzzles. Well, I'd like to talk to you about a dear godly woman. She's with the Lord now, and really she is one of the dearest godly and most godly women that I know. She spent her life serving the Lord in various ways. She would go and read to the blind. She was full of good works in many other ways, and she did a lot of wonderful things for the Lord. But she was really good at crossword puzzles and loved to do them. You know what happened? She got to the point where she would just do them for a good portion of the day. That's how much she liked them, and that's how good she was at them. She's like, well, wait a minute. This isn't pleasing to the Lord. I'm using so much time on these crossword puzzles. So I guess a non-bright-line way she could have gone about it was to say, well, let me just do fewer crossword puzzles. That may have worked. I don't know. I didn't ask her. But she actually implemented a bright-line rule in her own life. Said, well, I'm going to limit myself to one crossword puzzle a day. That way, when I get done my one, I don't have any more decisions to make. So, okay, I've done my one. And now that way I can have the time for the Lord that is needed. Now, let's think about this. It is scripturally based. I mean, there are verses that say lay aside every weight and so on. In other words, something that might not be sinful in and of itself may just be a weight that is holding us back from doing all the things we should do. So let's go through the list and see if they apply for this one. Was it a bright line? Yes, one a day. Was it a safe line? I think that that's fair. I mean, that doesn't take away from things of the Lord and so on. Was it for possibly a finite amount of time? And the answer is yes. And I think that later in her life, she was in a assisted care facility, and she could not go out and do all of the good things that she could do before. I mean, what is she going to do? Just sit there and look at the wall and then say, well, oh, I've done my one crossword today. No, she can adjust it and say, now at this time in my life, I may do things differently. It was determined ahead of time. She determined it before the Lord that it would be pleasing to the Lord. And she determined it for herself. She didn't then go around preaching that everyone must have this bright line. Do you understand? So it was between her and the Lord. And it was scripturally based, at least on maybe something like this passage, that we should not just be weighed down with things that are keeping us from good things in the Christian life. Now, are you beginning to see how practically in our lives, while most of the time bright line rules aren't good because they're so inflexible and so on, that occasionally we can find an area in our life where we could use one of these? Now, maybe more controversial than the crossword puzzle one. That was kind of easy. We could laugh and smile at it. I mean, alcohol is one. And I'm just going to use a personal example of this. I made a personal bright line decision with regard to alcohol, and that's just, I'm going to abstain. That's it. So whenever I'm at a work meeting or something with work and somebody offers, says, you know, here, have a drink, I don't have to think in the moment because I'm really bad at that. I really am. You people come up, I wasn't ready for the trick question. I'll get back to you. It's like I already know the answer. Like before I go, I know the answer. And actually, I've done it so many years ago that, you know, like I know the answer. It's no thanks, I don't drink. You know? And it's a common response, by the way, for adults. I mean, there's a fair percentage of adults that don't drink. And so it's not really regarded as something that odd. Oh, okay. Just one that doesn't drink. So it has been very easy for me. And it has served me well. Now, let's point out very clearly that the Bible does not say that everyone has to have this conviction. The Bible does not have a prohibition of alcohol. Now, John the Baptist did not drink alcohol. The Lord Jesus, as best we can understand from Scripture, did. Now, the wine at that day may have been different. Now, believe me, I'm no expert in this area, right? But I just read things, you know. I think that today, typical wine is like 6% alcohol. They say then it was about 2% alcohol. If they're right, take that for whatever it is. But it has served me well. Now, I commend it to you as something that has served me well. But let's go through, at least for my life, these things. So first of all, is it a bright line? Sure. It might be the only bright line that you can have, because you know, if you say my bright line is one drink, well, then you have to ask yourself questions. Well, how big is the drink? You know, and all the, okay, whatever. So mine's a bright line. It's very easy to implement. I know which side of the line to be on. Is it a safe line? Now, the Bible gives warnings about getting inebriated, drunk, and so on. The Bible gives various warnings about alcohol, and we know those. But so if I have zero, am I safe from the scriptures that talk about getting drunk? I haven't met a person yet that's gotten drunk on zero drinks. So, okay. Is it for a finite time? I don't know. I've been living a pretty long life so far, I hate to say. I'm not as young as I used to be, so it's been quite a while. I mean, the answer is kind of starting to look like yes, it's probably going to be for the whole duration. But I don't know what the Lord might do with me. I mean, he might have me in another country somewhere where things are completely different, life is completely different. I don't know if I'd ever change, but I guess in theory it could be for a finite time, although I don't think it's served me well thus far. It's determined ahead of time, and that's the wonderful thing. I don't have to think in these difficult situations. Yeah, that's okay. Can you grab something from back there on that? Thanks. I think the quicker we get it up, the better. Determined before the Lord, yes. Determined for myself. Yes, this is something determined for myself, and I don't tell everybody that I insist that they have this. Now, I do recommend it highly, that this is a conviction that has served me well. And it is scripturally based, in that there's not a scripture that says everyone has to have this bright line conviction exactly, but it is based on warnings, for instance, that are given in the Bible about drink and things like that. Listen, folks, let me just go off script a little bit, because that was where I was going on script. The older you get, the more stories, life stories that you are privy to, just by age. I mean, as you get older, you see more and more lives lived out. And you can see more and more people's decisions follow them on in life. And it's getting a little depressing, particularly in this area. I know of one person fairly, but by the way, nothing, all my illustrations don't apply to anybody in this room. Just to let you know, if you start thinking it was her. And I'll also say all of these illustrations don't apply to anybody that lives within 300 miles of here. So I think, okay. But, that narrows it down. But years ago, prior to Summit Week, there was a thing called Congress. And there was a young man, very dear man, very likable. You know, some people, it's easy to like them. And he was one of these guys. Very easy to like. But he had had a rough background. Involved in things, but then got saved. And the Lord miraculously saved him. It was wonderful. He was a fine young believer. Went through years. You know, some people, they're saved from a difficult background and they're a wonderful believer for a month. But this wasn't the case. Years went by and he ended up getting married, ended up having kids, and was leading a very nice life. I saw him, the last time I saw him, everything was still going great. It was at a funeral. It's his father's funeral. Now, he wasn't like living like right in the house next to his father. They'd been separated by distance for a long time. So it wasn't that traumatic on him. But nonetheless, and no matter what the circumstances are, if you lose your father, I mean, it's not an easy thing. And he and his brother decided, let's, you know, commiserate together or whatever these, you know, we call it, that night after their dad's funeral. we drink together. Now, I don't know about all the details of his background before he was saved, but I think alcohol was in there somewhere. And this was enough to ruin him. And he just spiraled down. He never recovered from that night. And it got to the point where his wife had to take the kids, move into her dad's home, because unable to be under the same roof. He called a mutual friend of ours, and this mutual friend called me, you know, and said, I can't even understand his sentences. We think that he's been calling inebriated and just, you know, and this has been a few years now, and just ruined. Somebody else, even closer to home than the one I'm talking about, closer to home, meaning in terms of how much I've kept up with the situation. At 20, there's somebody in the assembly, his friend, in quotes, let's go drink. I don't know if the friend was strong enough in his constitution to be able to handle it, but the one he invited out was not. So the friend is 40 now. I mean, not the friend. I mean, one I'm talking about is 40 now. And from 20 to 40, I think he's a genuine believer in the Lord, by the way. But from 20 to 40, over the last 20 of years, he's done nothing for the Lord. And hasn't gotten anywhere in life besides. Why? He's just taken down the dangers of alcohol. He hasn't produced anything for the Lord at all. I see him once in a while, talk to him. The friend I put in quotes that got him into this, he's passed away now. He died at a young age. I could go on with more stories of this. Young people, just think about it. I know I'm going beyond scripture if I tell you to abstain completely with the conviction that I have in my own life, but let me just say, it served me well, and I commend it to you highly. So think ahead of time about these things, and don't try to make the decision in the moment. Don't get into a situation where you're like, well, I'll think of what's good to say at the moment. Go into situations knowing what you're going to say ahead of time and have a conviction, and I would recommend a bright line conviction in this area. Physical boundaries and relationships. This one's always fun to talk about. a friend of mine was talking about this issue. And to be fair, a lot of the motivation for this message came from something that he was talking about. So the message is half stolen from him. But he was talking about physical boundaries and relationships. And he kind of started, you know how do you start a sentence or a topic and then you realize you're kind of in trouble in the middle of it? He did this. And he's like, I mean, you get into these situations and you could see on his face that he doesn't know how to get out. He's like, there are these forces. But he was talking about having a bright line conviction. Now, his conviction, and I don't say it has to be yours, his conviction was that they would not, he and his wife, they decided they would not kiss before their wedding day. That was just what they decided before the Lord. But at least you have to admit it was a bright line, right? I mean, bright line, was it a safe line? I think so. For a finite time?
Yes.
Actually, I'm married. By the way, he said that people were talking to him after his marriage, his friends, and they're like, oh, yeah, you guys, you didn't kiss before your marriage, right? And he's like, yeah, but then he's like, I never told him that. So the way what he concluded was their wedding kiss must have been so bad. And it was like, they must have never done that before. So, but was it determined ahead of time?
Yes.
Determined before the Lord, yes. Determined for themselves, Yes, they didn't go around saying everybody had to have this exact rule. And it was scripturally based. That is, even though the scripture may not have had that specific detail laid out, the idea in scripture was that you better be careful about this area. I had one on TV. This is back when TV was what people watched. Now, what is TV? I mean, we don't, there is no clear boundary as to what's TV now. I mean, if you watch it on your computer or this screen or on your phone or on your watch, or I mean, so this has less meaning. But back in the day, I ended up using up all my time watching TV. And I started with the not bright line rule, and I was just like, I think I'll just watch less TV, just not bright line rule. But it just didn't work for me. So I said, well, that's it. I'm giving it up for a year. Kind of made a little challenge for myself. No pride in there, is it? I did it. Did it. No pride at all. I even was going into a department store where they had this TV up. I remember TV up there. I was like, oh. I'm not watching for anybody. But the same thing, it was a bright line. It was a safe line. I did it for a finite period of time. It's determined ahead of time. That's the whole key. The prudent man foresees the situation and makes preparation accordingly. Determined before the Lord, determined for myself. I wasn't telling everybody else they had to do it. And scripturally based in the sense that scripture would teach us that it's probably not a good idea to fill yourself with all of that. So even though the scripture didn't say you can't have any for a year, it was kind of based on scripture. So anyway, so giving is another example, and this is a positive one. So these bright line convictions don't have to be just negative. They could also be positive. So my wife and I talked about our giving, and on Sunday mornings, I know what the minimum is that we're going to give every Sunday. That decision has already been made. Now we can add to it. And sometimes in certain circumstances we do, but there is an amount determined ahead of time. And it follows all of these as well. Now, a personal conviction like this can be helpful in areas of weakness. It can be helpful in areas of weakness. What time is it, by the way? I don't have my...
1:15.
All right, there we go. All right, remember, the Christian life is not a set of rules, but there can be a few key areas of life where such personal convictions can aid us in our Christian walk. Is there an area in your Christian walk that could benefit from this kind of personal conviction? And then question two, have you ever developed such a personal conviction? I'm not going to ask you, but if I did, would you have anything to say? There was one time in my life where before the Lord, I decided I'm going to make something that's maybe even more restrictive than what scripture demands of me, but for reasons of weakness or reasons of making it easy to make a decision in a certain tough situation, I just made this bright line rule before the Lord, and they can be helpful. These can be helpful to us. If you haven't made such a one, maybe it's okay, maybe it's your age, but I would think it would be odd if somebody went too far in life and still saying, no, I've never made one of these for myself. So think about these danger areas in life. Let's pray and give thanks for the food, and assuming they're ready for us, we'll go right in. Our Father, we thank you for your word and the balance that is in scriptures, the balance where we don't live by a set of rules, but we live before the Lord in a relationship with him. But nonetheless, we know that there are times through our life where we could need such a rule. And we remember Paul, who said, if meat makes my brother to stumble, I won't eat any meat again. And that he was prepared to have a bright line in those cases of doubt. So we pray that we would, the Spirit of God would help us in our own lives to use these as a help to us to please you. We thank you for the food that's been prepared. We thank you for those working hard to do it. And we pray that we'll have good conversation around the table. In the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.